The Click Magnet Dating Podcast, where experts dial in to discuss dating mastery, both online and off.
Hey guys, Scott Valdez here, and you're listening to the Click Magnet Dating Podcast by Virtual Dating Assistants. Today we have Chris Shepherd, also known as 10 Magnet, on the show. Chris is a pretty well-known and well-regarded dating coach and instructor from Love Systems. He's actually mentored some of the top guys in the industry, and he's known for his emphasis on natural game and is an expert on teaching men how to improve their success with women through growing personally, changing their attitudes, building conversational skills, and just better understanding where women are coming from. But today, we're going to talk about building attraction online, on the phone, and in person. Chris, I appreciate you joining the show today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
So Chris, one thing that I like to kind of just start off with, and I think it helps everybody to kind of relate with you and where you're coming from, is just the guest story. So why don't you take us back to kind of when you were struggling with women and trying to get this stuff figured out. You know, I know you go way back, the very beginnings of kind of men trying to learn how to pick up women and it becoming more mainstream, and you kind of riding the wave and becoming pretty well known in the industry now. So just kind of tell us what that journey was like for you.
I grew up in a small town, and a small enough town that I really didn't have a lot of experience interacting with people I hadn't already met or hadn't gone to, public school with. And so when I moved to Toronto to be a university student, I decided, all right, I'm going to learn how to be social. I'm going to learn how to talk to girls. I'm going to learn how to, be the cool guy on campus. And so I went out and went to all the parties and made friends with a lot of people. But at the end of my first year, I'd sort of become just friends with a whole bunch of girls on campus. But I kept on getting told, let's just be friends. And so I didn't know what I was doing wrong, and so I searched on the internet, and I typed in, why do women like bad boys, I think was the question I typed into Google, and I found this website where guys were trading advice on how to meet women. And for me, I'd always thought, I think a lot of people say, there's only a couple of ways that you can become better with women. Like, I think mainstream society says you can be better with women by getting rich and famous. You can get better with women by working out. And then aside from that, you have to suck it up and accept what your lot in life. Or you can be manipulative and lie about being rich and famous is what most people think. And I found out when I went on this website, there was a different way of doing it, that you could, work, that it was a skill kind of like being good at music or being creative or being artistic. It's something that if you go out and practice it and you know what you're doing, you can make yourself a more attractive man and cultivate a really attractive personality. Yeah, so I went on these forums and learned this stuff and started implementing it. And then I started hanging out with guys like Tyler Durden, Mystery, who are mentioned in Neil Strauss's book, The Game. They all lived in Toronto at the time, and we kind of all went out together for quite some time. When Love Systems started in 2007, I was one of the founding instructors with Savoy and a few other guys. And we got things started, and we're one of the top dating coaching companies in the world.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That must have been a kind of exciting journey, seeing, this kind of the whole kind of pick up and dating coaching, all the dating advice become more mainstream as The Game came out. And then obviously you guys were getting a lot of demand from clients and started coaching all over the world. And you've been all over the place with this stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I started getting involved in this, right off the beginning, I was like, this is going to be big. This is going to be something interesting. There are a lot of men who are going to be interested in this kind of thing, because we were doing something completely new and something that until, something that people didn't think was possible. And so it was good to see it become more mainstream and to see it sort of become accepted in the mainstream. And I think it's going to continue to become more mainstream. I mean, I think young men growing up these days, they're given dating advice and they're given The Game when they're in high school, And, it's becoming a very mainstream thing. And yeah, I've traveled all over the world, Tokyo, Mexico City, all over Australia, anywhere where they speak English, any great number, I've probably taught a class there.
Awesome. Well, that's, really interesting. And I was just talking to somebody on one of the recent podcasts about, how different, just kind of being in different countries and understanding this stuff, how it's really interesting. And you find core interests and things that women react to in any country in the world. So just kind of by traveling, you kind of learn these commonalities between women of any culture that kind of transcend culture. So I think it's really interesting when you understand this stuff and you've been in a lot of different countries, your experience and the kind of things that you learn about women in general when you take away all the cultural stuff. So maybe we could talk about some of that when we get to attraction. But One of the first things I want to talk about, and, you know, you're talking about this kind of dating coaching becoming mainstream. You know, along those lines, online dating is also at the same kind of time becoming pretty mainstream. And I know you have some experience with that, and that's, you know, one of the things my listeners are interested in. So let's just talk about that for a couple minutes. You know, I read a blog post of yours. It was pretty funny. It was called How Online Dating Saved My Life. I guess you do remember that experience.
Yeah.
Maybe you can just tell us that story in just a couple minutes.
That's a funny story. It's actually a little bit of an embarrassing story, really. I posted, but yeah, I'll go into it. So what happened was, yeah, online dating kind of saved my life. And what happened was I was moving from Toronto to Vancouver, and I moved on Labor Day long weekend. So on Thursday night, the day that I was moving to Vancouver, threw a big party, and I lost my credit card and my bank card that night. And I didn't find out that I'd lost my credit card and my bank card until I arrived in Vancouver with two bags of luggage and literally, like, I think $20. I think it was $4 in my pocket. So I'm in a new city. I don't know anybody in this city. I've got two bags of luggage that are mostly just clothes and a couple of pots and pans and stuff. I have an apartment that I go to that's completely empty. It doesn't have anything. There's nothing in the fridge or in the pantry. And all I had was my computer, and I could steal an internet connection off of one of the neighboring apartments in my building. And so I was like, how the heck am I going to be able to eat? I've only got $4. It's Friday morning. The banks aren't going to be open until Tuesday. I've got four full days with $4. I thought I was going to have to go into like a soup kitchen or something like that. So I was also pretty bored. So I sat down and connected to the internet, and I went on to, you know, a local dating website, Plenty of Fish in this case. And I changed my status. Here I'm in Vancouver, and I sort of started messaging girls, and I wound up getting girls to take me out for dinner, basically, so that I could eat over these 4 days. I did pay them back. I took them out again and bought them dinner and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't going to be a mooch, but it did actually, you know, save me from at least extreme discomfort. I don't think I would have starved in 4 days, but it would have been quite a pain.
And then, well, that's definitely a testament to your online and offline dating skills, obviously getting the woman to meet you in person and convincing her to pay for your food.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to, you know, it's really great to be able to go to a new city where you really don't know anybody and have a beautiful woman take you up for a date, you know, sort of 3 hours after landing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, there's really, unless you've got friends in the city you're headed to, they're going to hook you up. I mean, it's really the only way to have women waiting for you in a city that you've never visited,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the awesome things about online dating, you know, if you are traveling. But so, you know, we don't have to talk about if online dating is a good way to meet women or not. You know, obviously there are some advantages, and, you know, I'm sure Love Systems is not going to teach guys to stop meeting women in person. It's just a small part of an overall plan. Let's talk about just the basic benefits of online dating. Like, you personally, when do you prefer online dating over meeting in person? Obviously, for the traveling thing, it's great. But what are the situations that you find yourself online traveling with?
I usually consider online dating as kind of bonus sort of thing. So, you know, you want to be going out and being social and meeting women through your social life if at all possible. And most of what I focus on is about doing that, you know, getting out of the house and meeting women out in the wider world there. But especially if you're doing a decent job of that, a lot of time online dating is a good kind of supplement to a busy social life. It can help you meet women who are outside of your social circle, especially, you know, if you hang out in a particular community or something like that and you like to date out in that other side. You want to date everybody in your social circle is married and old, and you want to date women who are a few years younger than you. If you want to date goth girls or hipster girls or something like that, where you just don't live in the right kind of part of town or something like that to meet them, online dating is really good for that. I like seeing it as a bit of a bonus thing to what is otherwise hopefully a busy social life. And then there's also people who just don't really have the time to do that kind of stuff, and for whom online dating is their number one way of doing it. That's especially becoming really normal nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. When online dating, like anything, I mean, it takes a lot of time, and you've got to put a lot into it to get something out of it. You know, one of the things a lot of guys say about online dating is that your profile, your photos are like extremely important. If you're not good looking, you can't get dates. You know, I know your buddy Cajun, he's not a bad looking guy, but he's not, you know, the best looking guy in the world, and he still gets hot dates online. I mean, how important to you are your photos and you know, can you still get dates online if you're not that good looking?
Photos are really important. How good looking you are is not nearly so important. I mean, I'm not going to say that it has no relevance, but it really doesn't matter that much. But your photos matter a huge amount. And if your photo communicates a cool, laid-back guy, a sexy guy, it communicates a guy who's got his life together, then you're going to get response from women. And if it's you sitting in front of your computer playing World of Warcraft, or you in like some badly fitting t-shirt drinking a beer, then women are probably going to click on buy you. So it depends way more on the kind of character that your photograph communicates than on how you look physically.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that completely. So, I'm glad you said that. You know, it's not so much the way you look in your photos, but what they're communicating, right? When you're online, obviously the way, you know, that you approach women is going to be completely different from approaching women at the bar, like wherever. So, you know, do you have any kind of tips? And I know you're kind of a expert in terms of communication by the phone and text. Some of the tech stuff does kind of overlap into online dating. So can you tell us just about some of your techniques for, you know, crafting messages on an online dating site that will attract women and evoke replies?
Okay, well, the first thing is actually, that's not totally my area of expertise, so I am more on the kind of phone game guy. So the person to ask that question to, or the place to check out, is Cajun, and he's got a Gentleman's Guide to Online Dating that's really good and goes into a lot of detail over this. But so this actually might contradict Cajun, because I'm just going to tell you what I do. What I do is a couple of things. One, you got to point out that you got to make her know that you write her profile. So you say something that indicates you write her profile. Two, never, ever, ever, I did try this at one point, do not send out random form letters or something like that, like just something where you just cut and paste. You can kind of have a template and stuff like that, but you're going to get a way better response from actually investing a moderate amount of time in every kind of message that you, and every message that you send to a girl, rather than trying to like spam or something like that, because women are really aware of that, and anything that looks the slightest bit spammy is just an instant kind of like next from a woman. So generic compliments and stuff like that often get caught in a woman's spam filter, basically her intellectual spam filter, if you will. So I usually like, you know, again, when I'm messaging women online, I'm messaging women who have something, there's something in her profile that speaks to me a little bit, so I'm going to comment on that. But the other thing that I like to do is I like to get her to picture hanging out with me. All right, so one thing I'll often do is I'll propose something funny that we might do together. So it might go something like, hey, I can't believe you're a David Foster Wallace fan as well. We're going to, David Foster Wallace is a really obscure author that hipster girls that I like to talk to online might be interested in. We're going to go down to Salvation Army, buy like really old 1970s like all white tennis clothes, and we're going to go down to LaFontaine Park, and I'm going to drink vodka sodas and play tennis. All right, so what I'm doing right there is, first of all, in the first sentence, she knows that I read her profile. I'm a normal enough kind of guy. And then the second thing that I'm doing is I'm getting her to picture hanging out with me. So I'm not like some picture on an internet website to her, right? She's picturing herself playing some tennis with me. And I'm actually making her visualize it. One reason why I talk about like we're going to dress in a certain way is because when she imagines dressing a certain way, it sort of makes her go visual and picture it in her head. Whereas if you just kind of describe something, you're going to not, if you just describe something in a really logical, analytical way, then it's not going to have that kind of visual, emotional impact.
I think I couldn't have said it better myself. I know exactly what you're talking about, kind of creating an imagery that women can really connect with. So women kind of love to be thrown into these fantasy situations, and whether that fantasy situation is a real situation with you, well, that's actually even more powerful because you're taking her into a first meetup that's exciting and fun and interesting and different with you, which obviously builds a lot of intrigue and makes her interested. So I think that's a really interesting and good approach. Let's move on to the phone, because I know that's really where you excel. And so let's talk, you know, maybe you've got a woman's number online. What is your move? Are you usually a proponent of calling her or texting her, you know, once she's given you a number on the internet dating site?
I'm actually a big proponent of calling. And I know, like, honestly, talking on the phone with respect to dating has gone out of fashion in the past, like, 3 or 4 years. People do it way, way less. Like, when I started this, so this is, you know, 10 years ago, you always had to call a girl. I don't think phones even texted at the time. But now when you're dealing, especially if you're dealing with a woman under the age of 25, she is not, she, like, a lot of time, like, I swear, you know, 22-year-old women, you call them, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this thing makes noises? You can talk on this thing? What? My texting device? Telephone as well? But the thing is, here's the thing with online. One of the big barriers that you face is she doesn't necessarily feel comfortable meeting up with you. All right, a lot of women, like, if she's responding to your profile and she's talking to you at all, there's some attraction there, okay? She's engaged. If she's not interested in you, she's just going to not respond at all. But the barrier, once you've got a woman to respond, is getting over that comfort, her sense of discomfort at meeting up with you. And the fact is, talking to a woman on the phone, even briefly, for 10 minutes, has a really good quality of making people feel comfortable, because now you're like, you can hear their voice, you can actually chat at a natural pace and stuff like that, and you get the feeling that there's a real person on the other end of the line, and that usually makes one feel comfortable and makes it much more likely that you're going to actually get a date out of an email exchange. Whereas just emailing back and forth or just texting, if you're a really good writer, you can make a woman feel comfortable, and you can certainly do emotional kind of stuff over there and get her engaged, but it's a lot longer, because it's a lot longer than a 10-minute phone conversation. I mean, a 10-minute phone conversation, you feel really comfortable at the end of it, whereas, you know, to get the same amount of sort of comfort through email might require, you know, 5 or 6 messages back and forth, and you're telling all these stories and stuff like that. So it's quicker. I think it's more personal. Women who are over the age of 25 are, like, really impressed by it. They're like, oh, my gosh, I remember when guys used to call me. And a lot of women over the age of 25 are really kind of annoyed and think it's lame that guys text them all the time. Like, they think it's really manly for a guy to call, and it's kind of lame for guys to text. Women under the age of 25 are kind of indifferent. They're not really used to it. But a lot of the time, they really, really, really enjoy it.
You know, it's funny, I've seen a couple, like two instances lately where female friends of mine in the States had written something on Facebook that basically were like, oh my God, a guy actually called me. So it's kind of funny that's, you know, the way that women are just expecting men to text. And I think it is kind of a pleasant surprise when a guy actually picks up the phone and calls, you know, especially when he can be confident, because it shows that he's, you know, actually got some balls and actually really wants to talk to her and get to know her better. And when you only done text online, I think it's great, because to build that comfort, I think it is really important that she hears your voice. Why don't we talk a little bit more about creating comfort over the phone? Do you have any kind of tips and advice for just kind of making her feel more comfortable over the phone so that she'll, you know, be more open to the idea of meeting you in person?
Yeah, so the first thing I do when I talk to a girl online is usually the conversation starts out with something like, hey, it's Chris from Plenty of Fish. How's it going? And she'll go, oh, not bad. How's it going with you? And so I use that as an opportunity to tell her what I'm actually doing. All right? It's a simple way to start a conversation. And so I always make sure I am doing, or I've just come from doing, something that might be interesting. So I might say, I'm just chilling in my apartment. I've been playing guitar all afternoon. I'm learning a bunch of songs by the band. And, you know, I'm learning XYZ song. What kind of music do you like? And again, the idea is I want her to picture me. She's picturing me hanging out in my apartment playing guitar. I'm doing something interesting. I'm a guy that she can relate to, but also a guy that's kind of cool. Other things I might say, like, oh, I just went down to the marketplace and I bought myself, like, all these, like, fresh herbs and vegetables and stuff, and I'm just making this amazing Indian curry recipe that I saw on the Jamie Oliver show. Do you ever watch, like, cooking shows? And it's something actually kind of mundane, cooking dinner for myself, but I'm making it sound interesting, and I'm giving the impression of being a guy who cooks cool stuff. I'm communicating some stuff about my character. Like, she feels like she knows me a little bit better. Okay, this is a guy who cooks. This is a guy who, you know, I'm not going to say, yeah, I'm just making macaroni and cheese, right? I'm just, you know, frying an egg. Like, that's not as good. I'm not going to say, oh, nothing, just watching TV, right? She asks me, you know, how am I doing? I'm going to make sure I have something cool to say. And you just build it up a little bit, and you make it sound a little bit poetic. And it creates a little bit of comfort and a little bit of attraction, because you're doing something cool that creates a little bit of attraction, but it's also something she can relate to, which creates a little bit of comfort. It's not like, oh, I just flew in from Monte Carlo on my private jet. That's something that's going to create a little bit of discomfort, because she's going to be like, wow, I can't relate to that. She's probably going to think it's fake. But even if she believed it was true, she might still feel a little bit intimidated by something like that. So something just that she can relate to is a good way. That's a really good way to start it. And then you can just segue right off of that into a comfort conversation of, like, I'm playing my guitar. What kind of music do you like? Do you play a musical instrument? Oh, man. Yeah, I had the tuba when I was in high school, and I didn't realize it was really nerdy at the time. I loved my tuba. You go into stuff like that, and those are the things that women want to know about a guy before they meet up. Those are the things that make for interesting conversation. Because another thing about the phone is the stuff that women find interesting in conversation is often the kind of stuff that, like, guys don't necessarily... We don't think they'd like it. We don't like it ourselves a lot of the time, and we don't think girls won't care whether we played the tuba or something like that in high school. And women do care about that kind of stuff, as long as you're not listing facts, but actually, like, delving into who you are.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a basic idea to be doing something interesting when you call. And it's, I do it all the time, even when I'm chatting. You know, I always try to be doing something more interesting than them, just the way that I think of it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, even if I'm just walking, it's like, I'm walking, but I'll say, you know, I'm just coming from this little cafe down by the park. Have you ever eaten at such and such a cafe? Oh, it's got the best butter tarts. And, you know, I'm just making it sound good and giving off this vibe like I enjoy my life and I find it really interesting. Even the boring bits of my life are interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's, you know, that's really, really great advice, because anybody can use it really interesting and they don't really easily, and they don't necessarily have to change anything about themselves or their lives.
You don't have to make stuff up.
Exactly. It's all about delivery. Simple. So I like that a lot. Can you give us some advice about just showing interest but not being needy on the phone? You know, I think there's a fine line between kind of being interested in a woman wanting to meet her and then coming off as kind of needy.
Yep.
So can you kind of explain the, you know, how to kind of tiptoe that cord?
Yeah, so first of all, women want you to be interested, right? We're not trying to pretend like we don't like a girl on the phone or something like that, or like hide our intent. I'm calling you because I want to talk to you, because I find you interesting. I'm calling you because I want to hang out with you. So the line between being interested and neediness is just, I mean, the big way that I show interest is I call girls. I call them and I talk to them on the phone. I mean, that's a really easy way to show interest, and I think that's one reason why it's really effective, is because it shows a lot more interest than just simply text messaging a woman. And, you know, so you don't really have the problem of, like, oh, am I showing her interest when you're calling? She's going to feel the interest. She's going to know. And it can just go unsaid, and you can just kind of call a girl. And the way I show interest is I just go, you know, oh, I was just, you know, again, I was just walking through the park, and I just wanted to see how you were doing. Right? That's just, I mean, it's really simple. I just wanted to see how you're doing. Why did I want to know how you're doing? Because I like you. And when a man likes a woman, he sometimes thinks about her when he's walking through a park and he wants to know how she's doing, or he wants to know, you know, and he wants to talk to her. Sometimes I'll just say, you know, I guess I'd do this if I'm a little bit more familiar with a girl, but, you know, I just wanted to hear the sound of your voice. How's it going? I usually would do that after, you know, a date or something like that or two, or at least after I knew that she quite liked me. So, yeah, and also in text messaging, you know, just the fact that you're making an effort to contribute to the conversation is showing a lot of interest. Neediness comes when you invite a girl out all the time. And I think one of the reasons why guys come across needy on the phone is because they do something that I used to do, which is I felt like I had to get down to business every time I talked to a girl. Like, if I call my guy friends, right, I don't sit and talk to them about what I'm making for dinner or, you know, oh, I'm just walking through the park, it's so beautiful. Like, have you been to Parc La Fontaine this summer? I really like the tennis courts, right? I'm not going to call my guy friends to do that. When I call my guy friends, you get right down to business right away. I call my buddies and I'm like, hey, Derek, I am calling you because I wanted to know if you want to come out to the pub tonight. Oh, you're busy? All right, cool. Talk to you later. Click, right? And with guys, you go straight down to business. But with women, you need to have that comfort conversation there. And so guys often look needy because they're getting down to business all the time, because they don't feel comfortable with that comfort conversation. They go, so, Stacey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just hanging out here in my house. What are you doing tomorrow? And because they don't know what to do, they immediately go into, let's hang out. And it comes across needy when you do it too quickly. So I always do, you know, at least 5 minutes. Like, it doesn't have to be a really long amount of time, but at least 5 minutes of, like, hey, how's it going? You know, tell me how your day was. Here's some funny thing that happened, interesting thing that happened to me today. Hey, listen, when are you free later this week? And I only get down to business after a little bit of cool talk, and that usually does a good job. Another thing I do sometimes, especially online, if I'm feeling... like, if I feel like the girl is a little bit hesitant, so I call her up and she's like, hey, how's it going, guy from the internet? I'm like, oh, not good. And she seems very kind of standoffish. One thing I'll do is I'll just end off the conversation. I'll just, first conversation, I don't feel like there's enough comfort at the end of it, and I'll just go, hey, listen, I'm really busy through the first part of the week, but how about I give you a call later, you know, on Wednesday, and we will make plans, you know, we'll talk again and make plans to hang out later. So it kills all neediness, because I'm at the end of the conversation, I'm going like, hey, listen, I'm kind of busy. I'm so not needy. In fact, I couldn't even hang out with you. But I'm busy at the beginning of this week. Let's have one more phone conversation a couple of days from now, and then we will hang out. And that often does a really good job of, again, of being able to show that interest and build more comfort, but without being needy or feeling like you're pushing things too fast. Because if you try to push a girl on the internet, she's just going to freeze up, and she's going to not, you know, women are very, very wary of stuff like that, and you're not going to get very far by being pushy in those kinds of situations where we're going too fast.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that is really, really good advice, and I like, especially like, you know, the advice there about kind of just scheduling another call, you know, in a very non-needy way.
Sometimes if it's really on, if you get the feeling this girl really likes you, you want to go right away, right? It's not like you always schedule another call. It's only when it's kind of like, all right, this is a little bit marginal. I don't know if this girl really feels comfortable. Let's give it one more call. Whereas if the girl's like, oh my gosh, you know, your profile's so hot. You seem amazing. You go, hey, what are you doing 15 minutes from now? Let's meet at a place down the street. You want to be able to read that, right? Because like a lot of, there's no one-size-fit-all kind of situation. And women, as much as they don't like guys who are too pushy, they also, if a girl really wants to meet up with you, they don't like guys who dawdle around and waste their time or seem indecisive and stuff like that either. You have to exercise good judgment.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely something you have to gauge. And I think more often than not, you're probably going to go to the date in the first call. But, you know, when you're kind of seeing maybe the interest isn't there, that's an awesome strategy of kind of just holding off and making sure you go for it when she's a little bit more ready, when there's a little more comfort there. And I think a big part of what happens and when guys go for it and when there's not enough comfort is later on the women wound up flaking on them. So let's just touch on that just briefly, the kind of topic of women flaking. How can guys deal with that? You know, when they're trying to set up a date over the phone and whatever happens, he's supposed to call her later in the week confirm and she doesn't pick up her phone. Like, how can guys deal with these kind of situations?
Yeah, okay. The basic thing is, don't take any plan you make with a woman over the internet very seriously, is the number one piece of advice. I mean, it's not a business appointment. Even if you like the woman, even if you're really, because you get excited about it. A lot of times guys, they get excited about it. She's really gorgeous. She's really cool. I haven't been on a date in a long time, something like that. You get excited about it. But realize, for her, it might not be a big deal. Okay, and so you have to really accept flaking is just really a fact of life a little bit. And a lot of time, women will flake on you once, and then you just reschedule, and it's not a big deal. I believe that I think the rules or something like that that says you should always flake on a guy the first set of plans you make. If it isn't the rules, there's definitely some piece of women's dating advice out there that suggests flaking on the first date every time, because so many women do it that there must be a little bit of a conspiracy going on there. But they meet up with you 2 days later, as long as you're chilled out about it. And the fact is, if I was a woman, I would probably do that too, especially with guys I met online, because you'd separate out the needy creeps from the guys who actually have stuff going on in their life. So if I call a girl, and I do always call to confirm, so call or text, rather. So, you know, the day of the date, I'm going to go, or even the day before, depends on how long, you know, since we made the plans. The day of the date, I'm going to go, hey, are you still up for 7 p.m.? Now, if she doesn't respond within 20 minutes to that, I am putting plan B into effect, all right? So I'm going to just, she doesn't respond, I'm going to kind of write it off, not make a big deal about it, keep on going on with my day. And sometimes you get things like she texts you back at like 6:45, like just before the date was about to start, and it's like, hey, yeah, I'm good for 8, or something like that. I mean, a lot of time they reschedule. Again, this, you want to make sure that your plans are set so that that is not a big deal. And it's usually pretty easy once she's not getting back to you right away. You know, just put your plan B into effect and don't take it too seriously. And a lot of time, yeah, you just, if she wants to reschedule for the next day, just do that, or just reschedule for the next day that you are free. And a lot of the time, especially if you're busy and the girl you're dating is busy, this happens to me a fair bit, a lot of time it's, sometimes it can take 2 or 3 sets of plans to meet up. Sometimes it can take a couple of weeks. If you're a cool guy who has a lot of things to do and has a lot of social options on your plate, you're not going to care that much. And that's the vibe you want to give. So she flakes on you, you go, no worries, I actually had some friends invite me to come watch the hockey game with them, so I'm already downtown. And you leave it like that. And here's the thing, if you handle this stuff gracefully, she sees you as a cool guy. If you get pouty and bitchy and whiny, she's going to screen you out right away, because that's exactly the kind of guy that women are not looking for. And it is immature to get upset over a very casual kind of date like that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that.
And so you never make first dates that are overplanned. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I wouldn't avoid taking a woman to a date that required me to make reservations. I'm going to avoid something where there's tickets for the first date, you know, at least. Because you want to put yourself in a situation where she could flake on you and it wouldn't be a big deal. Because, again, women flake, it happens very regularly. And, you know, if you're in a situation where it's going to ruin your evening or piss you off, or you're going to lose, you know, $100 or something like that, you're going to get a little bit upset. And you might, rightfully so, maybe, but you're also going to lose the girl if you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I rarely do anything besides coffee or drinks. I know that we can do a lot of fun kind of activity dates, but I prefer usually to keep that for the second date and just keep those.
Second date, all that stuff is fine, usually. But first date, you just want to keep it free and easy.
I agree. You know, I know you teach a lot about attraction. And so a lot of this can be applied to the first date or just with women in general. But let's just kind of talk first, just to start, let's talk about some of the basics of in-person attraction, which for me has a lot to do with body language and kind of the image that you're creating. So can you just give us some of your most basic tips on creating attraction in person on a first date?
Okay. I mean, the first thing is relax, right? She obviously likes your profile. It likes your face enough and likes your look enough that she wants to meet up with you. So don't worry too much, right? Like, you've already passed that first kind of screening test. Body language is really important. Yeah, when we're dealing on a date, body language and representing your character. So you want to communicate that you're a guy who's strong, and that means somebody who's got a strong character, somebody who's, strength in a really general sense, so intelligence and even sense of humor, the ability to lead people or to, the ability to be a leader are all kind of strengths. So a lot of time, you know, I like taking women when I'm on a date, if it's about attraction building, taking them to places where I hang out a lot and where a lot of people know me, right? So when we walk into the bar, people go, hey, Chris, how's it going? How did your XYZ thing go? All right. And this does a couple of things. One, it means that I'm credible. I'm the real deal. So especially if I've been talking about, you know, let's say, how did your trip to Miami go, they say. If I've been talking about traveling all over the place, especially online, sometimes women are like, oh, is this guy the real deal? Does he really travel as much as he does? And so when I walk into a restaurant and the waiter asks me how my trip to Miami went, then that adds a lot of credibility to me as a person. And social proof, the idea that if other people think you're cool, the girl that you're dating is going to think you're cool. That's really true, and that can have a really powerful effect on women. If you walk into restaurants and bars and you're treated like you are the man, you can shut up. You don't have to brag. You don't have to say anything. People are going to treat you like the man, and you will get attraction really super easy in those kinds of situations. That's the best way to set things up. Sometimes it can be a little bit hard, but, you know, it requires a little bit of work, but that's one of the best ways to make sure your dates go really, really killer. And attraction-wise, otherwise, I mean, a lot of it's building comfort. A big thing, too, keeping the date interesting. If you can keep the date interesting, she's going to be way more likely to find you attractive than if your date is boring. And the number one thing you can do to keep your date interesting is do multiple venues. It's to go from place A to place B to place C to place D. That way the conversation never stales. So starts out in a coffee shop. Then we walk down the street to a nice little restaurant. And then we walk down the street to a bar. Then we walk down the street to a second bar that has live music or something like that. And by moving to four different places over the course of the date, each of them maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour, it keeps things fresh and it creates the impression that more time has passed. On the other hand, what a lot of people do, you just meet at a restaurant and you sit at the restaurant and you order like a 3-course meal and then you have drinks at the restaurant immediately afterwards. That can just be boring. after a little while. Even if the conversation is going good, the environment is boring. The atmosphere is boring. There's not a lot of new stimulus. And so I really avoid, you know, again, the big dinner date or dinner and a movie. Again, that's only you're only doing two things. You really want to have something where you're doing multiple things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the walk from point A to point B is interesting. And I'm going to talk, you know, while I'm doing it, we're talking. We're at coffee place number one. And before we go to coffee place number two, the restaurant, I'm going to go, oh, have you ever eaten this kind of food? And I was in, you know, have you ever eaten Thai food? I traveled through Thailand once, and here's, you know, some stuff I learned about Thai food. And this place is really, really good. You're going to love it. We go to the Thai restaurant. And at the Thai restaurant, I'm going to say, oh, you know what? There's this really great little hole-in-the-wall apartment near such and such a place. And I'm going to move on to the next place and the next place. And you move things fast. You keep things under control. You make yourself appear to be the man. And attraction is going to come really, really easy. Actually, just to finish off, being in control and being confident is very important. And I don't mean in control of, I don't mean in a bossy kind of way, but in control of the situation and knowing what to do all the time. So this is one reason why when I go on a date, I set the date. I say where we're going to meet, and I take the lead through the whole interaction. You know, not bossing around, but just taking the lead. And I don't follow her lead. And the reason is because if I'm taking the lead, then I can show her a good date. But if she takes the lead, I'm just going to be a tag along, and I'm not going to necessarily know what's going on. So if we go, if she's like, oh, I want to go to, let's go to this, like, bowling alley downtown. My friend Jane went on a date to the bowling alley, and she said it was a lot of fun. I'm going to go, unless I've already also been to the bowling alley and I know what's going on, I'm going to say, maybe next time, sweetheart, because you go to the bowling alley, stuff that can mess up dates, or you go to the bowling alley, you get lost trying to find parking because you don't know where parking is around the bowling alley. So you drive around the bowling alley like for 45 minutes. Then you go to the bowling alley and, you know, it's a ripoff, or you order some food, some nachos there, and the nachos are absolutely terrible. This is something you would know if it was your bowling alley. Then you leave the bowling alley and you go to a restaurant or something. But again, maybe it's hard to find a restaurant. The restaurant's closed. You order the wrong dish at the restaurant, and it's gross. And these kinds of things can totally ruin the date. Whereas when I'm going to my places, I know exactly what to order. I know exactly where to go. I know what place to sit at in every kind of restaurant. And it gives me this confidence, right? Because I know exactly what I'm doing all the time. That really helps generate attraction. So basically, rule number one of dating is never let her suggest the date. You always take the lead on the date, because otherwise it'll almost universally wind up being a disaster.
Yeah, you know, women always want men that are going to take the lead. And I think what you just outlined is a pretty awesome blueprint for first dates and building attraction, and just kind of taking charge of everything.
Yeah.
And being the man kind of in more than one way, you know, the man that kind of makes the decisions, and also a high value male by taking her to the right places where you kind of already know people and you know what's good, what's not. You're kind of just in control of everything, even, you know, up to your own social credibility. So I think that's really good advice. And I like the location switches a lot. I do that because I think just each place kind of provides almost like a different experience, and it makes
totally
the day just way more interesting and makes her seem like, feel like she's known you for way longer. It just makes everything more entertaining.
Yeah. The way I describe it is, have you ever had one of those days where you probably had to do a whole bunch of things, like you're at work, but you had to do a whole bunch of things in different places, and you look at your, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, it must be 5 p.m., gosh, and you look at your watch, and it's like 11:30, and you're like, how the heck can this day be going so slowly? How can it only be 11:30? I've already done these 8 things. And the reason why time goes slowly on days like that is because you're going to a bunch of different venues. You're going, you're meeting a supplier, then you're going to XYZ place, and you're going to the next place and next place. And you feel like it's been a long time, but you look at your watch and it's only been, you know, 2.5 hours since you arrived at work. That's how women feel on a date where you're moving from venue to venue. And then, of course, everybody, I think, who has an office job can relate to the situation where you just stare in front of a computer screen for 8 hours, and you leave work, and weeks go by, and you're like, holy crap, wait, my birthday was, I turned 30 a year ago? Oh, gosh. Because you don't have a lot of memories in that period of time, and that's kind of how your brain measures time in the medium term, is through the accumulation of memories. So a lot of memories in a short period of time, and she feels like she's known you for a lot longer, and like the date has been longer and it's gone really well. But she's never been bored.
Yeah, no. I think that's awesome. I think it's one of those things, like a lot of guys can have, you know, when you do these like really long, like dinner dates and stuff, like it's harder to keep the conversation going even. And when you are moving around like this, you just, there's a lot more situational conversation opportunities. And I think just everybody kind of stays with all like the, you know, the stimuli and everything and the, that's going on around you, just, it creates a lot more topics to talk about. And, you know, it just makes, you know, both of you kind of paying attention to not only each other, but kind of what's going on around you. And I think it's just part of keeping her entertained. I think it's just a really good tactic, and something that most guys don't do. And part of the great thing about that too is, you know, if you take her just to a short first place and she sucks, it's really easy for you to get out of, you know, with the coffee or quick drinks, and you can decide you want to take her to another place rather than being sucked into that. And that's one of the big problems with a lot of guys that haven't really taken anyone's online dating advice. And most people tell you not to take girls on a 3-course meal, but women get taken all the time. And we have female clients that get dragged into them sometimes, and they'll actually try to make sure that we don't let them get in that situation by helping them with online dating. Now, this has been a really, really awesome interview, and I know you're a really busy guy, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but why don't you just kind of tell everybody, and I know the guys that are still listening right now are definitely going to want to know where to find out more about you and about Love System. So can you kind of tell them where to go online?
Yeah, sure. So the best place to go is to go to the Love Systems website. And you go to thelovesystems.com, and there's a whole lot of resources there. We've got a forum. We've got an online course that you just give your email address to, and we give you kind of the basics. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of similar to the things that I was talking about today, just taking you through all the different steps, because we only did, you know, one or two steps in this little conversation. And so lovesystems.com is a really, really great resource. And that's where you can find out on all the different products that Love Systems offers, including The Gentleman's Guide to Online Dating, which is one that's produced by my good friend, Cajun. He's one of the best dating coaches in the world. He really killed it on Keys to the VIP. If you search Cajun Keys to the VIP, it's basically a television show that was a half hour, pretty much it's a reality show, but it turned into a half hour advertisement for how Cajun is awesome, because he went on this website and basically picked up 3 gorgeous women under the absolute worst circumstances, and you can see it all on video of him kicking some butt. So lovesystems.com. My website is 10magnet.com. That's my blog. I don't update it as often as I ought to, but especially if you go through the archives, there's a lot of really, really amazing stuff there. And one of the things that I do with Love Systems is, like, you know, I don't hold things back. I don't sit and go, oh, you know, if you just buy my product, I'll tell you the 3 things that you need to do to learn this kind of stuff. My blog is full of content. The interviews that I do are full of content. On the Love Systems website, it's full of content that guys can apply now. And, you know, if you like it, then we also offer seminars and a whole bunch of different sort of live training programs that really, you know, we get the best reviews out of any company in the world for this kind of stuff. It's really the #1 dating product probably in the world, because a Love Systems bootcamp, we take guys out and we get them to actually talk to girls, and there's a 100% money-back guarantee. And basically everybody who takes this course experiences a huge step up in their love life and in their ability to understand, relate to, and meet beautiful women.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, you guys, I know Love Systems has great programs, and I definitely appreciate Chris coming on, just talking about meeting attractive women online and building comfort over the phone and kind of amplifying attraction on the first date. So, you know, whatever you do, definitely put his tips to use right now. And if you want to check out more about him, check him out on lovesystems.com and also 10magnet.com, so you can learn more.
That's T-E-N magnet, not 10 magnet.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Spelled
T-E-N-M-A-G-N-E-T.com. And he's got just a ton to teach you about building attraction, as you kind of got a preview of here. And obviously the boot camps are from Love Systems are an amazing way to really get kind of the top level training that's out there on meeting women, you know, at bars, clubs, and even in the streets. So if you guys want to check that out, again, it's lovesystems.com. Chris, I really appreciate your time and want to thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Scott. It was great talking to you.